This is a recording of the Ernesto Saldana teleconference with Preschool California on Tuesday, January 17th, 2012, at 5 p.m. Central Time. Excuse me, everyone. Thank you for your patience. We now have the speakers in conference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ernesto Saldana. Mr. Saldana, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Thank you, everybody who's able to join on today's Transitional Kindergarten Monthly Call. Really great to have all the folks on the call. We hope you had a great holiday season, and then now as we ensue our work, as continuing to move the work forward regarding transitional kindergarten. So we're going to get started in a few minutes. I just wanted to just go roughly over the agenda and give folks a quick reminder that if you have questions, if you're new to the call, if you're a veteran, the same process of sending questions into us is to send an email to Araceli Sandoval Gonzalez, our staff member. You could email Araceli at A Sandoval. That's A-S as in Sam, A-N as in Nancy, D as in David, O, V as in Victor, A-L, at preschoolcalifornia.org. Just go ahead and send an email to Araceli, and she'll be sure to forward it to us, and we will process it along with all the other questions we get. So now I'm going to give you a quick overview of the agenda for today's call so folks know what we'll be talking about today. You should have received an email from Kendall Tripathi Parker. If you have not signed on board to this, get your own email from us on this call, please email Kendall Parker, kparker at Preschool California. You can also find her email on the tkcalifornia.org website if you want to sign on board for these monthly calls if you're not signed on board already. So for today's call, we have an overview and discussion of Governor Brown's budget proposal. As you all know, TK is proposed to be eliminating the governor's proposal. Scott Moore, our senior policy advisor at Preschool California, will be talking about it and obviously sharing more information regarding the proposal and our move to keep TK implementation off those cuts. And then we have TK communications resources that Deborah Conner, communications director, will be sharing from Preschool California. She'll be sharing the latest information regarding messaging, some of the messaging we've been using and slightly altering as this discussion has been gone since we've come back from the new year. And then third up, we have sample board policies for transition to kindergarten. We have a great guest, Deborah Brown, senior legislative advocate from the California School Board Association. Deborah will be sharing her sample board policy that we forwarded out to folks. And then after that, we'll take Q&A for all our panelists, all our folks speaking today, and just take questions from everybody. Remember, just email asandoval at preschoolcalifornia.org, and we will process those questions accordingly. So I want to go ahead and hand it off to my colleague, Scott Moore, who will open up with really sharing and breaking down the governor's budget proposal and what does it look like specifically for TK implementation. Scott?
Well, thank you, Ernesto, and good afternoon, everybody. As most of you, I'm sure, are aware, transitional kindergarten was proposed to be eliminated in Governor Brown's January 2012-13 budget. Just to read the specific language quickly that was in the budget, it states transitional kindergarten, a decrease of $223.7 million, Prop 98 general fund, to reflect the elimination of the requirement that schools provide transitional kindergarten instruction beginning in the 2012-13 academic year. These savings will be used to support existing education programs. Since that came out, there has just been a lot of discussion and information from a variety of sources, including the Department of Finance, in terms of specifically what this would mean. And it's still unclear, until we have actual budget trailer bill language, which we expect to be coming out really February, it's hard to know what exactly is meant by this proposal. But we have had, there has been some information given out by the Department of Finance. And I'm just going to read to you from an email that Corey Jasperson, who's staff to State Senator Joe Simidian, who was the author of SB 1381. And here's what he had to say. It appears that the administration's intent is not to eliminate TK, but rather make TK a local option. And SB 1381 requires districts to provide TK to all eligible children that wish to participate. Department of Finance has further clarified that districts that choose to implement TK would receive ADA funding for both years of kindergarten. The mechanism for this would be via the continuance form, which is the process that districts with TK programs have been using prior to the implementation of SB 1381. In addition, since the November 1, October 1, and September 1 cutoff dates would remain in statute, an early admissions waiver would also be needed to allow TK children admission into kindergarten because they would no longer be eligible under the earlier cutoff dates in order to take advantage of the continuance form. Would want to point out that given the stated intent to fund TK if districts choose to implement it, the savings of $223 million would need to be adjusted down by the amount of ADA that's used to provide TK. So that's just one point of information. Corey went on to say the problem with this approach is, one, a local district option would still result in children being displaced from public school. That point is essentially these kids used to have a right to kindergarten, whether that's traditional kindergarten or transitional kindergarten, and under this proposal that right would be taken away from them. So they would no longer have a right to be in public school. Second, children admitted into kindergarten via the earlier admittance statute are not eligible for ADA funding until they have turned five. So, you know, essentially what that means is that given the average birth date for this, for the November birthday cohort would be November 15th, about a quarter of the school year would go by without ADA funding. So school districts would essentially have to provide this service for free for a quarter of the year.
Scott, and that's under the condition that the governor's proposal goes through, right?
This is all from what we understand of the governor's proposal and what it would mean. So, you know, the underlying premise of changing the cutoff date to September 1 is that no children would be displaced from school, hence the requirement for TK. And, you know, that's why we wrote the bill the way we did, is because while we understood that, you know, these children typically are not ready for today's traditional kindergarten, we didn't want them to miss out on a year of schooling. We understand the importance of early learning. And so that's why transitional kindergarten was established. Corey went on to say this proposal is just that, a proposal, other than the two rather general references in the governor's budget summary. We have yet to receive any official details or actual bill language. Regardless of that, it will require legislation and affirmative action by the legislature to make any of the changes proposed by the governor. And we are... as I stated before, we're expecting budget trailer bill language on this in early February. Absent legislation to amend the statute, the Kindergarten Readiness Act, including transitional kindergarten, remains the law. So that's from Corey Jasperson from State Senator Simonian's office. And then we also have an email that we got from some of our partners in school districts that from statement from Mary Autry, who's from the California Department of Education, and she's the lead for them on transitional kindergarten. And of course, you know, all these all the districts and LEAs are wondering what should we do. And this is the advice that she gave. And I should say that the Department of Education is planning on updating their frequently asked questions on kindergarten and transitional kindergarten to reflect the governor's proposal. I don't know what that will say, but here's what Mary Autry apparently told some districts. The California Department of Education and State Superintendent Torlakson support the implementation of transitional kindergarten as stated in the current law. Unless current law changes, the California Department of Education continues to move forward with the implementation plan for transitional kindergarten for the 2012-13 school year. The governor's current budget proposal for 2012-13 school year does not fund the transitional kindergarten program for those children who are not age appropriate, November 2nd to December 2nd, due to the change in entry date of kindergarten. Kindergarten enrollment age remains the same. A child shall be admitted to kindergarten if the child will have his or her fifth birthday on or before November 1st for the 2012-13 school year. So, you know, that's the information that we have to date. I know that school districts are probably getting a lot of various pieces of advice and sources of information from other organizations, but that's kind of what we've been able to piece together. I will say, you know, in terms of the advocacy effort around this, you know, this proposal, as it's been stated, really doesn't reflect the fact that, you know, up to over 40,000 children this fall could lose their right to kindergarten. And, you know, there's a tremendous amount of media interest in this story. We've had literally hundreds of stories in the past week. And one, you know, I'll just sort of finish this with one op-ed that came out today in the San Jose Mercury News by Deborah Stipek, who's a former dean and professor of education at the Stanford University School of Education. And she had a very nice op-ed. And at the end, she says, for many low-income children who do not have access to quality preschool, transitional kindergarten could make the difference between success and failure. Given the governor's proposed elimination of 71,000 child care positions, removing funding for transitional kindergarten is a double whammy for children living in poverty. Children from low-income families begin kindergarten on average at least a year behind middle-class children in basic academic skills, and most don't catch up. Entering skills are the best predictor of how well students will succeed in high school and their likelihood of dropping out. Moving kindergarten eligibility up by 3 months without providing children with another educational program is likely to increase the achievement gap between low-income and more affluent children. She then ends her op-ed by saying, California students are already racing to the bottom in terms of academic achievement. In the 2011 National Assessment of Education Progress, our 8th graders ranked 47th in math and 50th in literacy. Only children in Mississippi and the District of Columbia had lower average literacy scores. But the real problem is that our children are not performing well enough to support an economically viable state. We're not just losing a race, we are losing our future. We should not make a disastrous situation worse by cutting funds that may provide the most benefit in the long run. And so, you know, we anticipate that, you know, there's going to be a lot more op-eds like this from education, business, and other leaders, academics. And are hopeful that this proposal will be reconsidered by the governor. And that we'll all be able to get back to the work of focusing primarily on implementing transitional kindergarten. So with that, I will hand it back to you, Ernesto.
Thanks, Scott. Scott, and you'll be Scott Morris, Senior Policy Advisor here at Preschool California, will be available throughout the duration of the call to answer questions. So once again, folks, please continue to email questions to asandoval@preschoolcalifornia.org, asandoval@preschoolcalifornia.org. Thank you, Scott. Thank you very much for sharing that information from our partners. So as we continue this call, obviously we've had some conversations with different partners and you know, some of the information. Recently at the California Kindergarten Association conference that was held this past weekend, it was great. There was a session on for kindergarten teachers, about 160 teachers in the room. And it was excellent because a lot of them were actually asking what is some transitional kindergarten specific, you know, curriculum instruction they can have or curriculum or instructional strategies that can really make, you know, gear them up for their TK implementation work. So it's really great to see kindergarten teachers there throughout the weekend at the California Kindergarten Teachers Association's event. So obviously, as we've been talking to districts, keeping, as Scott was mentioning, just the information about continuing, we're trying to urge districts to keep the course. We know it's difficult times, but SB 1381 is the letter of the law, and moving forward is something we're urging districts to continue to do with their TK implementation plans. So now we have Deborah Kong, our Director of Communications. Deb's going to go ahead and share some communications resources that you can find available on our on our website, as well as the Save Kindergarten website that we have developed for this advocacy effort. Deb?
Yes, thanks, Ernesto. So I just wanted to say that we are housing all of the information on preschoolcalifornia.org/savekindergarten. You can also get there through our front page, and you just click on the rotating slides that take you there. This is a webpage that's constantly being updated. So I'll just go over some of the key features of it. One thing is a flyer that says Save Kindergarten. It's got a graphic with children's faces, and it's you know, very powerful and impactful. You can save it to your desktop and print it out if you'd like. We also have messaging on there, and we talk about how the proposal to cut kindergarten is a lose-lose-lose for children, parents, and schools. And we include a link to more detailed messaging from Senator Simidian as well. We have two press releases announcing the governor's proposal and one from a recent event with the California Kindergarten Association that was attended by Senator Simidian. And we have quote sheets. So we have state leaders who are opposing the proposal to cut transitional kindergarten, as well as parents and educators who support transitional kindergarten. We also have links to support letters, and we have links to media coverage, including an Associated Press news story that ran in about 253 news outlets that includes print, TV, radio, and online across the state and the country. And we have a link to the op-ed by Deborah Steibeck, the former dean and professor at Stanford University School of Education that Scott was just talking about, generally talking about why transitional kindergarten is so important and why the governor's proposal to cut it is such a bad idea. Under the resource section, we just added today existing transitional kindergarten programs, a fact sheet on that. And we have a parent engagement toolkit that is really useful that the field team developed. It's both in English and Spanish, as well as a backgrounder on what transitional kindergarten is. And we're working to add Spanish language translations of our materials. And that's all I have.
Great, Deb. Thank you very much, Deb. And Deb, so continuous updates, people should just go on to that website that we referred folks to get up-to-date information?
Right, it's being updated daily.
Got it. Thank you. So Deb will be also on for the duration of the call, folks. If you have messaging questions as well, we're more than happy to answer those questions. Next on our conversation, we have our partner, Deborah Brown, who will be talking about sample board policy for transitional kindergarten. Deborah is a senior legislative advocate for the California School Board Association. Deborah, I have a quick bio to read for you. So let's see here. It says, in this position, Deborah monitors state education issues, including the state budget and school finance, children's health and nutrition, and preschool and governance. She also participates in projects related to public policy development and assists in the coordination and implementation of CSPA's legislative strategy, including communicating the organization's positions with legislators, led staff, and at hearings. Ms. Brown graduates from San Francisco State University with a major in history. On today's call, Deborah will be sharing CSPA's recently released sample board policy for transitional kindergarten. Deborah?
Thank you, Ernesto, and thanks for including us in this call. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about our policy. Of course, when we had initially talked about this, we didn't realize what we would be facing with the governor's budget. And,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, with the policy that we just finished and have just sent out, we find ourselves much in the same position as the Department of Ed. So we had revised our policy to reflect the change in the requirement for transitional kindergarten, but ran into a little bit of a quandary as to what to do and how to advise districts in terms of the governor's proposal and whether they should prepare for the adoption of a transitional kindergarten program as the law currently states. And so ultimately we did decide to go ahead and send out the policy because it is still law, and absent any changes in law, this policy reflects what the current law says. And so what we said in our policy news, which goes out with the policy and is available on our website, we did talk about the position that districts are in, which is what do you continue down the path or do you stop and wonder what to do. And so we are sort of advising districts that they really may need to choose to run on a dual track, which is to go ahead and proceed and plan to adopt the policy, knowing that ultimately the law could be changed. And unfortunately, it won't be done early enough. Likely, if any changes are made, they will be made as the budget is adopted, which would probably be June, which really puts districts definitely in a quandary, but more importantly puts families in a quandary as to what to do if it is truly a local option and their home school district decides not to implement the program for those kids that are displaced. So having sort of prefaced where we ended up and that we did issue the policy, I would like to note sort of the difference between what our sample policies are versus what are where we might issue a policy brief. And so a policy brief for us, which we did do one on a transitional kindergarten last spring, so spring of 2011, will provide more of a narrative on the program and some more background on it and may include some more positions and recommendations, whereas a sample policy really is that. It's a subscription-based service that we offer, but that it does have to reflect what is in the law and what is being said through regulatory agencies. And in this case, it would be the Department of Ed. So our policy is designed to reflect what's in the law and what CDE has been saying. And so hopefully everybody's had a chance to look at it. But there are a couple things that I thought that I would just point out as we're looking at it, which is, you know, that we do talk about the issue of allowing students to, the issue of the implementation and whether it is being implemented all at once or if a district decides on the phase-in or decides to implement it all at once, and the importance of that continuance form and that that should be done later in the year to ensure that there's not any concerns about it being invalid because it was too far in advance. And then the other thing to note for districts was the issue regarding if they do decide to implement it all at once and a student is eligible for kindergarten, that the district does have to allow them into kindergarten. I think that those are some important issues that need to be addressed. Other than that, you know, the issue that I think is probably biggest in terms of districts, in terms of having to develop something that they where they're creating the curriculum, and so we do note here that it really is trying to bridge the gap from the preschool learning foundations into the kindergarten standards, and so it's looking at those kindergarten or those preschool learning foundations, say from the 48 to 60 months. And merging those maybe into some of the early kindergarten standards to create a truly different educational experience for students so that it is not just a reflection of what's in the kindergarten curriculum, that it really is a different educational experience. And then I think the rest of the policy really is just going through and noting some of the issues that fortunately have been vetted in the year or so since the law was enacted, which has to do with some of the eligibility requirements and the staffing issues in terms of what the credential requirements are for teachers, and so that really does mirror a whatever is required for a traditional kindergarten teacher. And the same thing with the number of minutes, which we cover in here, which is that providing the same number of instructional minutes, so meeting that minimum 180-minute requirement. And then if the district does offer a full-day kindergarten, what you need to do if you want to offer the half-day a transitional kindergarten or a full-day transitional kindergarten. And so other than that, we do have, like I said, we do have some additional information through our policy brief, which is on our website, which is csba.org, and then also how we've prefaced the release of the transitional kindergarten policy with our policy news. And all of this just went out about a week and a half or so ago to our subscribers, and so the districts are getting this now, and I would expect to be contemplating this at their meetings this month and next month to decide how they're going to proceed on it in terms of what to do with the governor's initiative. And I think that's all I have to say on that, unless there are questions.
Thank you, Deborah. And then, Deborah, we'll go ahead and field questions overall, and I'll be sure to prompt the respective speakers if there's a question for them. So, Deborah, thank you so much for sharing that information.
Welcome.
So, we got questions here, folks. Let's see. Here is one here. Scott, this is for you. I'm assuming it's written under the perception that if the governor's proposal goes through as planned, in that scenario where the governor's proposal goes through, if a district decides to offer TK to the November birthday children, is it basically an early admission situation? And the district would not collect ADA until the child turns 5?
Yes, we don't have budget trailer bill language from the Department of Finance yet, but certainly our understanding of what's been stated from the Department of Finance, it would be an early admission for an underage child, which, you know, the education code as it stands currently states that would be for when a child turns 5. So in this case, for the November babies, you know, at some point in the month of November. So you would not be able to collect ADA up until the child turns 5 at some point in November.
Got it. And Scott, this is all under the assumption that the governor's proposal does go through.
Correct.
Continuance form would not help you either in that context. You would have to wait until the child turns 5, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. We got two questions with one stone. I think what's really key for folks, I think one thing we're trying to emphasize, these are obvious hypothetical scenarios. That the scenario we have in front of us now is SB 1381 is the law of the land. So a lot of these questions are hypothetical questions, which I totally understand. Deb, there's a question for you.
Okay.
Deborah Kong.
Yes.
So folks are asking, they want to try to get the graphic on the front of the Save the Kindergarten website. How can they access that graphic? Is there something, a link on there they can access it really easily?
Yeah, you just go on you right-click on the graphic, and you do Save Image As, and then you save it to wherever you want to save it, on your computer, on your hard drive, or your desktop, wherever, and then you print it out.
Perfect.
So if anyone has any questions or needs any technical assistance, feel free to contact me.
Got it. Okay, so we have another question here. Scott, this is for you. Or Scott or Deborah probably can answer this question. I'm assuming it's under the assumption, once again, the governor's proposal goes through. If there's a site that has about 9 TK programs, can they continue to run those programs and receive ADA if the students are kinder age?
Well, yes, except for those November children who would no longer be eligible for ADA.
Got it.
Until they turn 5.
Got it.
And I will also say that only lasts for a year. And then the next year, you know, it's only the September kids, because then the October children will no longer be eligible, and then the September children won't be eligible either.
Got it.
Although, of course, they'll be turning 5 pretty soon. You will still have to do the same paperwork that you would, as well as doing an underage waiver.
So the continuance form would have to do that.
You'd still have to do a continuance form to do a 2-year kindergarten program.
Got it.
And then you would also have to do a waiver for underage ADA. And then you would have to wait until they turn 5. Why the Department of Finance scored $223 million worth of savings, which is the maximum amount of savings that you could get. That savings comes directly from a loss of ADA of a little over 40,000 children. So that's where that money comes from, is children who would have gone to kindergarten who then are not.
Got it. Let's see. I'm looking at questions that are literally trickling in. What can districts do to support the advocacy campaign to save kindergarten? Is that for Scott
Well, I can start, and then anyone else can chime in.
Go for it.
I mean, I think first and foremost, we need letters of support from superintendents, administrators, teachers, principals, you know, especially from superintendents of a district would be ideal. And we're getting many already, but we need more and more and more. You know, there are over 58 districts that already have a TK program or something that's like that.
And those are just the ones we know of.
And those are
just stories.
Right,
I'm sure
exactly.
Many more.
So, you know, there are scores of districts already doing this and scores more that are excited about starting.
Mm-hmm.
We need to hear from them and preferably in writing. Would also encourage everyone to sign up to our Preschool California Action Alert system and our email listserv, because we will be doing action alerts throughout this budget session, encouraging people to write both the governor and the legislature, encouraging support of transitional kindergarten. And then the last thing I would say is, you know, the best thing we can do is to keep our heads focused on implementing transitional kindergarten in the highest quality way we can. Because not only will that send the message to everyone in Sacramento that this is something that our K-12 community wants and that our children need and that our parents want, but it's also going to prepare us for this fall, because I anticipate transitional kindergarten will still be law. And it still won't make a difference if we don't do it in a high-quality way.
Thank you, Scott. Deborah Brown, the CSBA, we have a question for you. Let's see. It says, thank you for sharing board policies regarding transitional kindergarten. Given the TK legislation and change to education code, why would a school board have to adopt a board policy?
Oh, well, so in terms of the... they would need to adopt a board policy, because that will sort of drive how they're going to implement
mm-hmm.
the transitional kindergarten programs. And so this goes back to the issue of absent a change in the law, it still requires a transitional kindergarten program to be established at all school districts that offer kindergarten. And so they would need to adopt the policy, because that will help drive the decisions that they make, and also if help them decide how they want to approach transitional kindergarten. Now, as I sort of prefaced it with the discussion about what to do given the governor's proposal, that makes it much more difficult. And so at this point, we're still trying to figure out how districts should approach it. And right now, our policy news is sort of saying to move on the dual track, and so then maybe they need to adopt the policy, but have contingency plans in place. Because if Scott is right, and there are no changes, don't want to be caught off guard in the end of January and not have been looking at this. So until there's a definitive one way or another, districts really do need to move down the path of trying to establish and develop their transitional kindergarten program, but always being mindful that the rug could be pulled out and they won't have to offer it, and their funding becomes in jeopardy as well because of those age waiver requirements and not getting the funding until they're five, until the children are five.
Got it. Thank you very much, Deborah. There was a question, Scott and team, about... can you repeat the information about our districts not receiving ADA for TK students until they turn five? Scott, that's under the impression that the governor's proposal goes through, right?
Correct, and is under, you know, and no other changes are made to the Ed Code. So the Ed Code, you know, has the transitional kindergarten language stripped, and no other changes are made, and in that case, what we have now is, you know, under code 48,000, there's language which allows underage children to be admitted into kindergarten and start collecting ADA when they turn five. you know, at any point during the school year. So these are children that were, you know, too young to attend kindergarten, you know, starting in the fall. But, you know, let's say January, February, March, whatever, they turn five, and then you can start collecting ADA. So that would then, of course, with the change in the kindergarten entry date going through, but without transitional kindergarten being established, you would then have 3 months more of children who would be turning five at some point during the school year, who would not be eligible for kindergarten entry at the beginning of the school year. So then that, you know, would apply to them. So, for instance, in the case of children born in November, you know, let's say November 15th, a child born in November 15th, when they turn five on November 15th, at that point you could start collecting ADA for them, but not until that point. And clearly that's a quarter of the way through the school year.
Got it. Thank you. Scott, we have another question from a specific school district. They're saying, my board has approved full implementation. You know, with SB 1381 as law, roll back to September 1st in the coming year. So it looks like they're going to serve all those kids all the way from September on, September 1st on, they're going to do the full rollback.
Right.
At the least, should the program be phased in so that only 1 month of children has the right, quote-unquote, right taken away? Or should we continue with the September 1st day if we believe it is good for children?
I mean, you certainly can, and I would recommend to continue with the implementation as you see what is best for children. So if that's all at once, then that's, you know, the path I would recommend. You know, you'll still be able to collect ADA for those September and October babies next year. You would obviously need a continuance form for all those kids if the governor's proposal goes through. But again, for any district, I would suggest, just as Deborah was saying, continue your planning as if transitional kindergarten were law, because it is law, and as if the change that the governor's proposing won't take place, because you know, you don't want to be caught off guard. At the same time, be cognizant of the fact that this proposal was out there by the governor, and it does put in doubt whether or not transitional kindergarten will be law come this September. But, you know, I think it's certainly a likely scenario that SB 1381 and transitional kindergarten will remain law, and that districts should be planning as if that were the case, just like they have been.
Got it. Thanks, Scott. Here's a question about if a district offers full-day kindergarten, will it be possible to offer a half-day TK? How does the district go about doing this? I'm assuming that's under the SB, the continued letter of the law as we see now. I'm assuming that's what they're asking that question from. They have a full, if the district offers full-day kindergarten, will it be possible to offer half-day TK? That sounds fine, Scott.
Yes, I mean, it's the same for transitional kindergarten as it is now for what we call traditional kindergarten.
Got it.
So, you know, it's a local option whether or not to do part day or full day kindergarten. It's a local option whether or not to do part day or full day transitional kindergarten.
Got it. So they're not held to, if they're doing full day K, they're not required to do full day TK.
Not by the state, no.
Got it. Thanks. Question here regarding the waiver form and continuance form. Is there a difference between those documents? Are they the same? Scott, do you know that answer?
Yes, they are two different documents. I don't know them well enough to go through the details of how they are different, but, you know, suffice it to say, you know, one form is for children when they start their first year of kindergarten to have permission and by both the district and the parents to say, look, we anticipate that this child will have a two-year kindergarten experience. So that's a continuance form, and you can do that at, you know, I think any point during the year. The other form, the waiver, is to allow an underage child to begin kindergarten and collect ADA at the point in time during the school year where they turn five.
Got it. Scott, we have a good question here, too, another one. Folks, a person's asking, why don't we change the preschool date so that the November children can go to preschool instead of being out? What's the word on that, Scott?
Well, that could be something that comes up in the, you know, policy conversation, you know, around this proposal. It certainly, you know, isn't the case now, and it's a good point, which is, you know, these children that are impacted by the elimination of transitional kindergarten aren't even currently eligible for our state preschool program by age. So regardless of their income, and state preschool, California state preschool program is an income eligibility requirement, and about half of our children are currently eligible for state preschool. You know, many children, in fact, over 80,000 children are on the waiting list currently for our state preschool program, and that's before we had, you know, approximately 15% cut to state preschool last year. And now we're seeing a significant cut proposed this year to the state preschool program. So it's hard to know how much of it will be left after this year's budget is established. But clearly, regardless of that, currently the November children and as well as the September and the October children are not eligible for state preschool.
Got it. Thanks, Scott. This might be a combo Deb Kong-Scott question right here. Following up on advising districts you know, to continue to implement their strategies on transitional kindergarten, how do we recommend they communicate this, how the state of the TK effort is going in light of the governor's budget with families during the enrollment process? Deb, did you want to take that one on? I guess how do we continue to communicate knowing there's a lot of there's ambiguity right now regarding TK, if it's on or not? What's the best way, Deb, did you recommend school districts communicate that to families during the enrollment process?
Well, I mean, I think that it's up to each individual school district, and they all have different processes for that, but it seems like the main message to communicate is just as we've been talking about, that the governor's proposal is just a proposal, and that transitional kindergarten is the law of the land. Scott, do you have anything you would add?
Well, I would add that, you know, this proposal is a real threat, potentially, to their child being able to attend kindergarten next year, and, you know, they should consider that in terms of their advocacy, potential interest in getting engaged in advocating around this. You know, clearly, a lot of parents are already being quoted in the press saying just how frightening this is, how it not only puts in jeopardy their child's education, but it also puts in jeopardy their employment. And that, you know, preschools are already filling up. A lot of families, you know, have been planning financially for the time where their child is eligible for public school, or keeps another parent or another family member out of the workforce. And so, you know, this is of great, proposed the same, policy change. And, back then, you know, we had parents all over the state up in arms. And I would anticipate the same reaction.
Got it. Scott, this is for you. Is the governor's proposal a true cost savings to districts?
Well, yeah, I think someone could probably write a dissertation on that question, because I will say there are a lot of people who understand Prop 98 and school financing much better than I do, who have, you know, varying opinions. But I will say that I've had, you know, conversations with several experts and the foremost experts in the state on this, and it's getting clearer and clearer to me that there will, in fact, be no savings to the state from this proposal. And, you know, you're looking at Prop 98. This is a test 1 year. I don't want to get too technical.
Yeah.
But the reality is that, you know, the state still needs to give the same amount of money to Prop 98 and to K-12 education, whether you make this TK cut or you don't. That districts, because of potential declining enrollment, may be collecting that ADA anyways and just not having to serve the kids. Or if they do serve those kids when they turn five, then those savings disappear. What is clear is that the $223 million of savings, which is the maximum amount of savings you could get by kicking out 40-plus thousand 4-year-olds from kindergarten, is that none of that money is going to solve the deficit problem. So, in fact, there really aren't any savings that are generated through this that help us pay for any other program. At best, what it does is it says to schools, you could potentially use this money in a different way, which begs the question, why would we use education funding in a way that's different than educating children in classrooms, especially when they're of the age where they get the greatest benefit? It's so in terms of the savings argument, and I think it's one that we're beginning to, you know, better understand. It's becoming clearer and clearer that, in fact, there are no savings. And it's a big question in terms of why this is even being proposed in the budget, and maybe is a more likely candidate for legislation and going through the legislative process.
Got it. Thanks, Scott. We have a question here. Can a child with a November birthday start TK in September without collecting ADA and then start collecting ADA once they turn five? Scott, that's possible, right? So a November birthday child, Scott, they start TK in September, school district's not collecting ADA under the governor's proposal, then they start collecting ADA once they turn five. Is that possible?
Yes. I mean, school districts would absolutely, you know, be able to, under the proposal as we currently understand it, would be able to serve that child for free for a quarter of the school year and then start collecting ADA at that point. Now, of course, you know, you lose a quarter of your ADA, so which is, I think we all agree, already not adequate, but that is possible to do.
Got it. Thanks. Scott, we have an email from one of our partners here regarding the instructional minutes offered in TK. I'm going to read this statement, see if it makes sense. It says, quote, unquote, it's from page 3 of CSBA board, sample board policy. It states that, quote, the number of instructional minutes offered in TK shall be the same as that required for the district's kindergarten program. So sounds like that means it's really the district's decision, but using a sample, the district should develop a board policy that reflects what a district's able to do regarding K and TK, right?
Deborah, I mean, I don't know if you want to weigh in on that, but that does sound right to me.
Yeah, that's what's in the policy, right, which is that you have to have the same number of minutes for TK as you do for kindergarten. And then there's obviously the minimum number of minutes that you have to have, which is the 180.
Got it. So, Deborah, so is a district able to do two different types, a full-day kindergarten and a part-day TK, doing the minimal hours TK? And if they do that, so first and foremost, is that possible?
Well, just clarifying that according to our policy, no, the number of instructional minutes offered in TK shall be the same as that required for the district's kindergarten program.
Got it. So they need to be the same. Got it.
Yeah, so the minute requirements have to mirror the traditional kindergarten minutes in the district.
Got it. So they have to match.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for that clarification and correction. Excellent. Scott, question here. How does the governor's budget proposal impact the TK legislation? What I've heard a lot of, Scott, is that SB 1381 went through a long budget process, a long legislative process to become approved in both the Senate and the Assembly. Can you explain how the governor's proposal, how does the governor's proposal trump that?
Well, it doesn't yet. I mean, it would have to go be in legislation, whether that's through the budget or through a separate piece of legislation or both, some combination. And that would have to pass both the Assembly and the Senate. And obviously the governor would need to sign it. So until that happens, it doesn't trump SB 1381.
Got it. Perfect. And I think that's pretty much all the questions we have. I want to thank our speakers for answering those questions and for the clarifying points. Thank you very much to Scott and Deb from the Policeville, California team. Deborah Brown, thank you very much for joining and sharing the sample board policies. Greatly appreciate everybody on the call today. Want to thank our partners at the Fresno County Office of Education, Wilma Hashimoto and Lisa Kaufman at the Santa Clara County Office of Education, as they've been working. They work closely with us in setting the agendas for these TK monthly calls. Want to definitely highlight my colleagues here at Preschool California, Araceli Sandoval and Kendall Tripathi Parker, as our key leads here at Preschool California making those calls happen. So I just wanted to thank everybody for being on the call. Please know if there's a question or two we maybe didn't get to, we wanted to just get some clarifying points, we'll be sure to respond to you via email. And just want to make sure folks, as our recommendation to Preschool California is urging districts to remain the course. There's many advocates in Sacramento geared up for the fight. There's a lot of business leaders who've been part of this advocacy effort that have moved forward and provided letters of support. A lot of districts that provide letters of support, community-based organizations from across the board provide letters of support. You can check out the website to see some of the information on the Save K website that Deb mentioned. So there's a lot of advocates in the fight, and this is going to be a long, important process, but we know the importance of getting good programs planned early rather than later. So knowing that information that Deborah Brown shared, that we folks may not know until June what's going on, but we feel there's a lot of great advocates out there that we feel TK will continue to be implemented in 2012. So thank you all very much for joining this call. And I want to just cue folks up for February 21st at 3 p.m. We're going to have our next TK monthly call. So please join that as well. And look out for emails that you may see from us. There may be an emergency call done. And if some new information gets disclosed out there from Sacramento that we'd like to share with people right away, just what information we may know about it and share any advice we may have. So, and if you have any questions in the interim, please feel free to give us a call. We've had some districts already have us present to some of their board members, some of their district leadership on this, and we're more than happy to take the time to provide any clarifying information. Thank you all, and you all have a wonderful month and a great beginning of the year. Take care.